Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
Welcome, welcome. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome again. This is Slumber Party, and I'm your host for the hour, DJ Coco. Normally, I'd be joined by DJ Star, but she's off in Germany studying abroad right now. So I've been taking over the shows for the last while. But yeah, so glad you're joining me this week. I really like my topic this week, and I hope you will like it listening further on. I wanted to just jump straight into the music as usual. And started off with an artist that I recently saw over the weekend. So on Friday night, I went to go see them. I went to the Take Your Time Back venue, which is on Kingsway in Vancouver. And I originally was going to go for Sour Dope, which I saw at CJSF the last week, and it was kind of like a acid jazzy band and very, very chillax. But then the lead singer, or the lead saxophonist, is also the lead for a punk band called Like Whatever. So I decided to rally up a friend and go to this event where they were playing with Spectra, Slow Aside, and Cara Bateman. And very cool venue. I have never been here before. It was a little difficult to get to. There was no front entrance, and you had to run around the back. And it was this very tucked away little area, but the venue inside was so cool. So cool. There was graffiti all over the walls, and it had a very homemade artsy feel to it. And I really enjoyed my time there and listening to all the bands. I ended up actually getting and buying a denim patch from one of the bands called Slow Aside. The lead singer was name is Rain, and she created these denim patches out of her sister's jeans and then used fabric markers to design their band logo onto it. So, of course, me being the sucker for things like this, I bought one and I got to meet her, which was so cool. She was such a cool person. And then I saw Like Whatever, and they had this very punk vibe going on, and as well, it was combined with the lead saxophone playing, which I've never heard before, but I will definitely be hearing more of in the future. And then the very last band that played, so there was the four bands throughout the whole night, was Cara Bateman, and such a cool lady. I was flabbergasted by her voice and the band, and I really ended up liking this one song called Strawberry Skies, which, of course, I got a little radio show going on, so might as well showcase it for the day. But this was from her latest album, which the band just released, called Daddy Issues. So I was going to play a little bit for you today. So you can take a listen and, tell me how it goes. Enjoy.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go? Thank you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'll be your host for this hour. The last song you just heard was called Been Longing by Sophia Miller from her album I Follow It It Guides. Amazing, very ambient album. She is based out of Victoria, so very local. I love it when we play local artists. But yeah, that was that song. And then that first song you heard, I introduced before, but I'll just do it one more time, was called Strawberry Skies by Kara Bateman from her album Daddy Issues. So, just wanted to go straight into the topic for today. So, last weekend, I said that I went to the Take Your Time Back venue, but during that weekend, I also did a foraging workshop as a Mother's Day gift with my mother. I found this on Eventbrite from this lady. She is a holistic nurse, certified nutritionist, and herbalist. So she was running, she's been running and hosting these little workshops in the local parks in Vancouver and Burnaby for foraging in the forests and the local parks. We did not cover any mushrooms, but it was mostly for the plants, the berries, some of the trees, and it was very, very interesting. I have taken a couple biology classes before, and we did do some nature walks and learning about the different plants and identifying species in the forest, but this was a very honed in version, and I enjoyed it a lot, and it had a lot of holistic information also involved with it. So I wanted to kind of share some of my favorite foraging notes, and as well I did a little extra research on some of the biochemistry of the reason why of some of these plants and etc. So I'll just get straight into it. Some of the top or some of the plants and species that I'm gonna cover would be the dandelions, daisies, English ivy, and then some trees as well. So the weeping willow, Douglas fir, western hemlock, and the western red cedar. So we started the tour off all in a group, and the first thing we did was go over to the side of the parking lot and check out the dandelions that the city actually mowed most of the dandelions around in the area, but there was this one little scraggly dandelion left. So we examined it, and the tour guide, I guess, foraging guide showed us and told us about the dandelion. So the dandelion, as you may know, are those weeds. People just see them as weeds. They're the ones with the yellow flowers, flower heads, and then in the summertime they turn into those big puff balls of little seeds that fly off into the wind. So pretty very common knowledge of a dandelion. But some of the specifics of it is that it's from the aster family. So this is a family that have very many small flowers in a disc-like flower head, and the petals are all individual flowers. So, and each seed is produced by a single flower. Dandelions are completely edible, so you can eat the yellow flower head, you can eat the leaves, you can eat the stem, you can eat the roots. Although most people normally don't do this because it is very bitter, and kind of an eccentric taste. I don't think people would normally see weeds and think, ooh, I'm going to eat that off the road kind of thing. But if you do want to eat it, because my mom and I have plans in the future to do some things with dandelions, you can take dandelion leaves and you can saute them in a stir fry, or you can bake them, or even just put them raw in a salad. I was looking also online, and the dandelion flower heads, you can make a fritter recipe and fry it with flour and butter. And as well, ooh, I feel a sneeze coming on. Okay, I'm not going to sneeze. For the roots, the dandelion roots, this is what I find the most interesting. And I will definitely be trying this at least one time this summer, is that you can roast the dandelion roots for coffee. So you can use the larger part of the roots, because if you try to roast the smaller parts, it will easily burn. But roasting the larger part of the dandelion roots in the oven, and then finishing with that, grinding it up, and then you can also add coffee beans and do as you like, but it can be made into your own decaffeinated version of coffee that's very good for you. Dandelion is highly nutritious, all parts of it, including the root. It has a lot of vitamins, minerals, and fibers, and fiber. Some of the vitamins involved is vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K. And as well, it has a lot of history in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine. So they think that the bitter taste and the cooling properties of dandelion is good for your energy balancing. So I didn't know that. Very interesting. And as well, some of the other parts is that all parts of the dandelion contain antioxidants. So this is a pretty common term, and you may have heard of this in a lot of other foods. So antioxidants, I'm just going to give a little rundown, are natural compounds that neutralize harmful free radicals in our body. So free radicals essentially are very highly unstable oxygen molecules. So these oxygen molecules have, if you remember back to high school chemistry, that the protons and the neutrons are in the middle of a molecule, and then the rings around it are the electrons. And so all molecules want to be as stable as possible, so the outer ring always wants to be paired up with another electron. And so free radicals have an outside ring that is not paired up. And so this means that free radicals are always trying to disrupt another bond, a bonded molecule in your body, to kind of stabilize itself. So this is why having high amounts of free radicals in your body is harmful, because it will try to steal an electron from the cells that you need, such as proteins and lipids and DNA. So this can cause a lot of problems. So this is where antioxidants come into play, where you can eat it, get it from your nutrition, and also your body naturally makes antioxidants. So eating dandelion is a great source of antioxidants. So fun tip, if you want something that is nutritious and free, I mean, don't go for any of the sprayed dandelions on the side of the road. Try to go maybe in your local park that you know that they don't mow often or try to spray down. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. And if you don't want to eat dandelions and you still want the benefits of antioxidants, you can just eat the more normal food. So this is like blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, variants of berries. You can have nuts, and as well dark leafy greens and vegetables. So this is including kale and spinach. But dandelions, along with being a very good source of antioxidants, it is good at reducing inflammation. So it contains this compound called polyphenols. So another good benefit of eating dandelions. So hopefully you are convinced. The only con that I recently thought of is that I have spring allergies and I am allergic to pollen to some degree. I haven't felt any of my allergies yet, which I'm surprised, but normally I'd be pretty allergic to the pollen in the air. So the middle of dandelions do contain pollen, so be aware if you do have seasonal allergies and trying to eat dandelion. I believe that the leaves and the roots would be much better if you do. But anyway, moving on. Next, we have another type of weed that people see around and don't think about eating are daisies. So these are the little, tiny little white flowers with the yellow center. And it also comes from the same family, so the aster family. And so only the top flower head and the leaves are edible. People normally don't eat the roots, but you can eat these two primary components. It is not typically used for eating, though. I stand corrected. You can use it actually more for balms and salves. So this is great for your skin, and you can use the oils from daisy to do this. And you can also make tea if you'd like to actually try to taste it. There is a medicinal tea with the daisy heads that you can do. So all you'd have to do, like any tea, is that you would boil water with the daisy heads and then let it sit for a bit, strain it out, and then drink it. People say it has a slightly sweet taste. I haven't tried it yet, but as well, I will try it at some point. And it also is said that if you drink daisy tea, it can help with coughing, bronchitis, and colds, and anything that helps the respiratory tract. I saw a couple websites claiming this, but I think I'm going to fact check this because I've also seen by more credible sources that there is not enough scientific evidence to prove that it helps with these three things. So take this with a grain of salt that daisy tea will help you with your coughing. You should also be aware that daisies also contain pollen in the center. So be aware for those seasonal allergies. I'm also pointing the finger at myself as well. Moving on, we have number three that I found interesting, which was English ivy. So ivy is pretty commonly known. It's that kind of spiraling leaves that grow everywhere around trees and in parks. And in stores, they make fake ivy for rooms. And as well, they sell real ivy. But I learned that ivy is actually a villain. It's a bad guy. So it is not native to Canada. And it was introduced from Europe. And it is a very invasive species. So we were told that ivy wraps around trees and the roots, and it steals the nutrients around them and eventually killing the tree. So my mom and I were shocked to hear this, and especially my mom, because we've been growing cedar trees along the border of our house for a while now, and they've grown pretty tall. And there's been ivy growing around some of the trees, which my mom originally thought that, hey, This is great. I mean, it must be helping in some way if it's growing around the trees. And now we learned that we have to snip down all the ivy. So a lot of gardening to be done on the weekend now. But just so you're aware too, for your houses and gardens and your place of residence, that ivy is invasive and it will kill the plants around them if it can. So be aware. And then we also got into the trees during the walk, which I didn't expect. It was more of like a holistic view of the park instead of just the berries. But this was probably my favorite little tidbit of information that I learned, which was from the weeping willow. It's that big tree that has light green leaves that droop down to the ground. Very beautiful tree. And this tree is not native to BC. It was introduced from Europe, and it's from the family called Salicaceae. Tried to pronounce that right, but that's the closest I can get. And I found very I found that this was very interesting because the leaves and the bark contain this compound called salicin. So this overall is a natural compound that is converted to salicylic acid in the body. And salicylic acid is the precursor for acetyl salicylic acid, which is the name for the very commonly known medicine aspirin. I was shocked. I don't know why my mouth dropped when I heard this. So I did a little extra research onto this. So this is going to get more into the biochemistry. So I found out that salicin is made up of one part an alcohol molecule, and it is attached to a beta glucoside. And so when your body consumes this and it breaks it down, it becomes one part into glucose, into sugar that you can use as energy. And then the other part is converted into salicylic alcohol. And so alcohol, as we know, is poisonous to the body. It is a poisonous byproduct. It is a surprise that we all consume alcohol so much, as it's poisoning our body. But in nature, our body normally wants to get rid of this alcohol, so we convert it to salicylic acid via oxidation process, so adding an oxygen to the salicylic alcohol, and then this creates salicylic acid. So I was very impressed with this. I didn't know about the history of weeping willows and the properties of salicin. And so I looked a little into the history, and actually it was used, the salicin into salicylic acid was historically used for inflammation and pain. So it did have the same NSAID properties as aspirin, which stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And the only thing, though, is that it has a very bitter taste, and as well, it upsets your stomach. So they currently, researchers and scientists, don't recommend using salicylic acid from salicin to treat, like, as a natural remedy to treat any pain or inflammation you have, because acetyl salicylic acid, aspirin, is very, very safe and does not have any of these extra side effects. So this is the one time, or maybe not one time, but this is a time where the artificial version is the best out there, and you should use this one. And that was the story of the weeping willow. And we also got into some of the other types of trees too. So this was more for identification, and I went to my local park after, and I tried to identify some of the trees, and I found it pretty easy with some of these little tips. So these might help you as well. So the first one, or I guess the first evergreen tree I'll cover, is the Douglas fir. So the tour guide, or my foraging guide, showed us the shape and the components of the Douglas fir. So the Douglas fir is a type of evergreen tree in the conifer family, Pinaceae. Wow. Yeah, I don't really know how to pronounce my words. I think it's Pinaceae. And so conifer refers to, or conifer? Conifer? I think I'm going to go conifer. Correct me if I'm wrong, but conifer means that it's a type of tree that contains needle-like leaves and as well pine cones. So Douglas firs can be commonly identified by the very light green needles at the very ends, but the whole tree is pretty dense and dark green with dark green needles. And I have found it difficult in the past to differentiate the Douglas fir versus the Western hemlock. So the Douglas fir, with this one little simple trick I can now identify the tree, is that you have to look at the pine cones of the tree. So the Douglas fir pine cones, The guide showed us that they're pretty decent size. They're medium sized, but there's a folk tale that comes with it. So in the pine cone itself, there's these little kind of twigs sticking out. It looks like tiny little twigs sticking out of it, of every little covet of the pine cone. And so it said that rats, they use rats, and that they got chased into the pine cone. And so their little tails are sticking out of the pine cone as they hide in there. So this is a very, very simple way to identify the Douglas fir, and most useful thing I've learned from the foraging workshop. So this is very easy to spot now, because you can compare it to the Western hemlock, which looks very, very similar to the Douglas fir, as it is still an evergreen tree in the conifer family, Pinaceae, and it also has the light green needles at the ends of it. But the difference is that the Western hemlock pine cones are pretty tiny, and it doesn't have those little rat tails sticking out. It's just a clean pine cone. So maybe that will help you for your next identification, but I found that very interesting. And as well, I wanted to add a little fact that I learned not from this workshop, but previously in introductory biology classes, is that both of these trees are coniferous trees. So I mentioned that they're both conifers, meaning that they have needle-like leaves and pine cones involved. And coniferous trees, I believe it's the same, it's synonymous, coniferous and conifers. But coniferous trees are a specific type of tree that compete in the forest with another type of tree or group of trees called deciduous trees. And so deciduous trees are the commonly perceived trees, as that they have leaves that fall off and turn colors, and as well they are typically shorter. So this includes the big leaf maple tree, the red alder tree, and the birch tree. So coniferous trees and deciduous trees usually compete for the same resources in a shared environment. So these trees both fight for sunlight, space, water, and etc. And it's very interesting to see, because I remember after taking my biology classes, I went out to my local park and I took notice of the trees that were growing. And around my park that I normally go to, there's a trail at the bottom, let's say south part of the park, and then the north part of the park is the top. So the north part of the park is filled with deciduous trees. These are all the big leaf maples, and they're typically shorter. These guys grow really fast, and since they have so many leaves and big surface area, such as the big leaf maple, because in the name it says big leaf, it's able to photosynthesize and create a lot of energy. So this allows them to grow pretty quickly. And so these guys grow the best in very nutrient-rich areas, and as well ones with good weather. So up on the northern side of the park that I go to, all the trees are deciduous, and there's very little coniferous trees growing around. So that indicates to me that that is a very nutrient-rich area. So they were able to kind of win out that territory from the other type of tree. And then if you go into the northern part of the park, this is where all the coniferous trees have taken over, and all I can see are Western hemlocks and Douglas fir trees. And so Douglas firs and Western hemlocks are coniferous trees, and coniferous trees work and, well, they compete best with very nutrient, or in a location with that has a lack of nutrients. They are very, very good at thriving in areas that have harsh weather, low nutrients conditions, like I said, and they can conserve water from the waxy needles, which is one way of helping them. So the southern part of the park that I go to is all filled with these trees, and I see no deciduous trees at all, because once the coniferous trees start growing up, they grow very slowly and they're pretty tall trees, but this growing and slow growth, eventually if they get to a certain height, since they grow so tall, they take over the sunlight that the deciduous trees have to grow from. So this essentially kills out the deciduous trees. So didn't even know that the plants were competing with each other. This is called, in biology, it's called interspecific competition. And so this is when species compete for the shared environment. So usually I thought this was for animals, but it seems like everyone's competing these days, and I guess in history, not just these days. But anyways, that was the little competition tidbit I had. And then the last tree I wanted to mention was seeing the Western Red Cedar. So this is the provincial tree of BC, as stated from 1988. So you can see that it has the very drooping branches. The guide mentioned that it looks kind of like a J shape where all the branches go down and all the leaves go down. And the bark itself, it has a very reddish tint to it. So that's why it's called the Red Cedar. And in BC, it is used for a lot of things. You've most likely heard of the Red Cedar. And this is things like roof shingles, fences, sheds, gazebos, furniture. And this is because it is very, very durable. And as well, the cedar is resistant to insects and decay. So there you go. That was my favorite points from the workshop. We also got into a lot of berries as well, so such as the Himalayan blackberries, which I also learned are invasive and not native to British Columbia or North America. And so those guys get sprayed a lot, so be careful of eating Himalayan blackberries because they may be sprayed. We also got into things like the salmon berries, which the bears love and are filled with vitamin C. Huckleberries, which kind of look like, I describe them as dipping dots because they're tiny little dots and they kind of burst in your mouth in a way. These ones are very popular and one of my favorites. And I believe, yeah, those were the three that we covered. I didn't mention them on here because I already know a little bit about them, and I wanted to give some more nuanced information about things that you may not have known. But yeah, that is the story of my and my mother's foraging workshop journey. So maybe you are convinced and you would like to go forage for some berries. Do as you please. Just be careful of eating plants and identifying things that you may not know. So try to read from a book or use an app. So we were introduced to the app iNaturalist, which I had before, but it's very, very cool because you can just pull up the camera on the iNaturalist app and then point it to the plant and it will identify it for you. And it's not even just plants. It is for animals, insects, birds as well. I haven't tried most of these things, but very, very useful resource. And that is the end of my talk today. So I am going to switch back to the music now. Trying to see what I have coming. Oh, okay. I'm going to bypass some of my songs here and put this one on because I have been listening to this on repeat once again, as I've been doing with other songs. So this one is labeled as a hip hop album, but it seems to use sampling of kind of random sounds. So it uses conversations, some rap bits, and one of them had sneezing. There was sneezing in it. But I really liked this whole album, and I particularly liked this song. So this is by the artist Ant, and the song is called Coloring, Shading, and Endings. So enjoy.
Key elements of programming.
Programming in what respect now?
Well, let's you've talked about coloring and dynamics.
Shading. And dynamics is very important.
And then we move to program itself, the musical compositions.
Mm-hmm.
One right after the other. What are some of the key elements there?
Actually, some musicians you have, they're Segway freaks, and I'm one of them. I'm a Segway freak.
Solution, c'est difficile. Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
He said, I'll give it to you for free. Happiness is a guarantee. Take the chance, you're part of me. Tell me, it's down the garbage chute. Baby's got secrets to prove.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. The song is still going. That last song you just heard was called Ephemeria by Great Grandpa from their album Patience Moonbeam. I love this album name. I think if I had a band and I needed an album name, I would definitely choose Patience Moonbeam. The one right before that you heard also as well was called Emergency featuring Kaba by the artist Beatrice Melissa. That one, very good as well. Some francophone electronic, more of a soft electronic, more down-tempo than the usual electronic I play. And I just wanted to come on here and give my final regards because we are nearing the top of the hour and my time is almost up. But I thank you so much for listening on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday day. Absolutely gorgeous sunshine outside. So hopefully you are outside or have been outside today. I wanted to introduce the next show coming up, which is called Sociologic, and that is with my dear friend Rebecca. So stay tuned for that. I may even join on for the first couple minutes, so you might hear my voice. And then the show right after that is Bitcoover with our music coordinator Connor. Definitely stick around for that. Two very, very intriguing shows to listen to. So I'm gonna end it off with a couple last songs. I have some time left, so this next one is called Orbital Alcatraz by the band Yocto. So some art rock, but enjoy.
Fire underneath your heel. I'm surprised that you're the one who said it first. If you had waited a few years, I would have burst. Everything comes up to the surface in the end. Even the things we'd rather leave unspoken. We both know that it would never work. You've got your girl, you're gonna marry her. And I'll be watching in a pinstripe suit. Sincerely happy for the both of you. So what changes, if anything? Maybe everything can stay the same. But if we never talk about it again, there's something I want you to understand. You're a bit.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.